Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films from all genres and bring you celebrity interviews every single week.
Very good, Lewis. Short but pointless.
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
You want me to yank you out of that seat and shake it out of you?
I don't have it. Screws fall out all the time. The world's an imperfect place.
And now, here is your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD. All right, welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. My name is Kyle Autry, joined, as always, by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you tonight?
I'm feeling pretty fantastic. It's a good night. It's a good time to get some podcasting in. Big shout out to all of our friends, fans, family, everyone that tunes in. Thank you guys for listening and gals. And why are we here tonight, Kyle? What are we talking about?
You know, originally we were going to do The Great Outdoors, but we're running a couple days behind. Instead of cramming something in, and we still have a guest that we need to get lined up with, I figured we should go ahead and knock out another top five favorite episode. And this week, we're doing our favorite movies, our top five favorite movies from 1984. Arguably, JD, this might be the best year in movie cinema history. I don't know how you feel about that.
This is a tough list. When you said 84, I was kind of both very excited and also very intimidated because there are so many great films packed into one year.
There really are. I don't know how I'm going to make this top five list, to be honest, because there's at least eight movies that I feel really strongly about. So I'm really looking forward to this. Before we jump into things here and break it down one by one, I want to take a second to just promote the podcast a little bit. You can follow us on social media. We're at Back in Time Pod. That's Twitter, Instagram. We have a Facebook page. Just type in Back in Time Podcast. You'll find us pretty easy on there. And then make sure you subscribe and then drop us a 5-star review over at iTunes or Apple Podcast. That's going to help us continue to grow the podcast, get more feedback, and ultimately that's going to get more people to listen to the show. So we appreciate any help that you guys can give us. Also, big shout out. We crossed the 7,000 follower mark on Twitter over the weekend, and that blows me away because, I mean, 2 years ago, JD, we had less than 100. Pretty crazy.
Well, even before that, we had less than one.
That's true.
So shout out to our first fan, whoever that is. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I followed it right away. You know what? I think I remember, actually. I think it was the Jurassic Park podcast. I think they followed us like right away at the very beginning. I don't know if they're still putting something out, but that was I think that's the one.
Well,
to be honest. So shout out to them if they're still doing the damn thing.
Yeah. And check them out. Cause man, that's impressive.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. And, anything else you want to promote, JD, or are we putting up something this week at Back in Time Pod? Do we have a blog coming out?
I'm working on it. I am working on it. I have a few things tinkering in the fire. It's been a little bit slow for the past maybe 10 days. I've just been super busy with other projects, but look forward to some more good top lists, top names, top five, everything and anything. And by all means, tweet at us, tweet at me, tweet at Kyle. If you've got something you want to hear us chime in about, maybe it's the top five actors named Martin. Martin Lawrence, Martin Starr, who knows? Could be anything.
I like Martin Starr.
I do too. I just started watching Silicon Valley recently, and he's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to love Silicon Valley. I love that show.
Yeah.
Wait till you get about how you're in episode season one, I should say.
I'm on season two. Just started season two.
That's a great show for you. So cool, man.
Thank you.
Glad you found it.
I appreciate that.
Sometimes we get along, which is nice. But hey, man, let's jump into things here. You know, we'll do our typical 5-4-3-2-1 breakdown. I'll let you go first. I'll bring up the rear because I like the rear. And we'll go from there. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
All right, man. Number five, start us off. What do you got?
So my number five movie is going to be a little bit out of left field. Is my my list typically tend to do. So a big shout out to Phantom Dark Dave and all of the other Troma fans out in the audience. But I'm going to say the Toxic Avenger.
Toxic Avenger. Very nice. Okay. Give me a little insight. Why is that on the list for you?
It's again, it's an oddball kind of a film. It's black comedy. It's splatter. It's horror. It's got everything that you could ever want from an 80s film between the practical effects and everything that they try to do. Being a Troma film, it's kind of fantastic. And it really set the stage for everything that Toxie becomes and sort of evolves a lot of the film foundation for what we see from subsequent films. And it's a legendary film.
Okay. I like your pick. I don't know that I'll ever get around to watching Toxic Avenger, but I hear good things. Well, from you. So, okay. Number five, we got it. Now I'm going to piggyback off of that. And this will also be a tie-in today because my number five pick, he was a guest on, and we cross-promoted with the Black Cat Shadow podcast back in the day, and we did A Nightmare on Elm Street from director Wes Craven, starring a little-known actor at the time named Johnny Depp in a supporting role. This, to me, is just, it's amazing. It's an amazing horror film for 1984. I think it was, at that point, you know, pretty cutting edge in terms of the character that they created with Freddy Krueger. He's definitely stood the test of time. And I just think Robert Englund in that role is just, it's a legendary role. How can you not love that character?
Yeah, I'm obviously would have predicted this to be on your list. A little surprised that it only came up as number five. But it's a very competitive year.
It's a very competitive year. That's definitely part of it. But A Nightmare on Elm Street is not my favorite horror franchise, even from the 80s. So I think that is part of the reason it's not higher.
That's very fair.
On the list. But definitely go into our archives over at backintimepod.com or on YouTube, and you can actually listen to the original episode that we did on A Nightmare on Elm Street from about, geez, it's been well over a year. And part two, which is over on the Black Cat Shadow podcast, which may they rest in peace over there. It's no longer going. It's sad to hear, but I guess some scheduling, they just couldn't keep it running. Cool. Well, let's keep chugging along here. We both got pretty good picks here at number five. JD, what do you have at the number four
spot? For my number four spot, we're heading to one of my favorite Steves, Steve Guttenberg and Police Academy.
Okay. I love it. Expand on that. Why is that your number four?
Probably had in your mind that Police Academy would be on my list. It had to.
Yeah.
I have a soft spot in my heart for the Police Academy franchise. I think that there's something so refreshing about this idea. It's so simplistic. Like, let's just throw these offbeat nobodies into Police Academy. It launched a hell of a franchise. The action figures. I think there was a cartoon even in there somewhere. It feels correct. There was a Teen Wolf cartoon. There was a RoboCop cartoon. There had to have been a Police Academy cartoon. There was freaking action figures for it. I just loved it. It just made me feel so wistful as a kid.
Yes. As soon as you paused, I was wistful. Like, he's going to say wistful. I know it. I love that. Yeah, Police Academy is not it. I don't know that it would even break my top 10 for 1984. That's how competitive this year is. But it's been way too long since I've sat down and watched that movie, and I may have a completely different take on it at 34 compared to when I watched it when I was like 17
or seven.
It's been half a lifetime since I've watched
this
movie.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love it. So I'm going to kind of stay in that horror genre here for number four for the 1984 horror comedy film from director Joe Dante. We're talking about Gremlins, one of my favorite movies. This came out, you know, before I was born, obviously, but it was a movie that, as another one that's really stood the test of time. The CGI Gremlins reboot that's been talked about for a long time seems to be in the works now, which is kind of a bummer. But I love Gremlins 1. I love Gremlins 2. We've got a little Corey Feldman in here. We've got, produced by Steven Spielberg. And I think this is an awesome movie. I love the premise of a Mogwai that you can't get wet, you can't feed after midnight. Everything just goes haywire. Plus, you get the old crazy guy down at the bar, which we've talked a lot about. And I'm kind of blanking on his name right now. I wish I could remember. Do you remember that guy's name? The one that gets
Steven
attacked?
Steven Schwartz.
The drunk. Not Steven Schwartz.
I can picture him so vividly in my head, and I know every intimate detail of his face as if I were a blind man on a street corner, but I cannot think his name.
This is going to make you so mad. Mr. Futterman, damn it! Took so long to get to it, but the late, great Dick Miller as Mr. Futterman, you gotta love him. Zach Galligan as Billy Peltzer, his dad, the goofball inventor that, you know, can't seem to make anything actually stick. It sounds good at the time, but just never quite works out for old man Peltzer. Great movie. What do you think about my choice there at number four?
It's a great film. It's in our archives, and we did a great job and had a lot of fun covering it, for sure. I knew it would be on your list, so I'm very happy to have you cover it.
Well, let's keep going along here. So you are at the number three here. Go ahead and lead us off. What do you have at number three, JD?
Number three for me, but my top three were a little difficult to try to navigate through. There was movies that I knew had to be included, and there were movies that I had struggled to really rectify why I would put one above the other. And so I'm even right now, I'm pulling an audible on myself. I am putting The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension as my number three. And
The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Okay. You're going to have to explain this one because I don't get this pick.
This is fan-effing-tastic, based on a comic book. We've got Peter Weller. We've got Jeff Goldblum. Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah.
No, if you've never seen it, it's really fun. Essentially, it's almost like they create the superhero that is just has everything that you can ever imagine. He's a jazz musician. He's a scientist. He's a superhero. He's mm-hmm. everything. He's a Renaissance man. And we throw some John Lithgow in the mix. Gee, I don't know. It's such a fantastic movie. There's literally a part where they're walking through a laboratory and there's a watermelon and Jeff Goldblum goes, what's with the watermelon? And there's no explanation. You never get an explanation of why there's a watermelon there. And it's fantastic. And I love it. And I wanted it to be higher, but I think that my top two picks are probably more appropriate.
Okay. I can respect your pick. I can also disagree with your pick, which I do. It sounds that movie, I have not watched it, but it sounds like it's kind of in the vein of The Last Starfighter. Does that kind of ring a bell? All right, number three. This is where I think I start to get even more predictable than my first two picks. These are also very interchangeable depending on when the last time I actually saw the movie. But for number three, I got to go with The Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi's dojo, you got Daniel-san, and he takes down the bully, Johnny Lawrence. Also, I'm a huge fan of the YouTube series that they've done, two seasons now. They've both been fantastic. I've shouted from the rooftops. JD has ignored my shouts and has not watched it. And I just think this is a movie that I'll be watching this when I'm an old man. It'll be popping it in and wax on, wax off. I am ready to go. Also, hey, side note here. When this movie came out, June 22nd, 1984, this episode will drop on July 22nd. So, you know, 35 years and 1 month to the day. So it would have been going strong at the box office 35 years ago.
That's fantastic. Congrats to the Karate Kid team. And for Kyle for his obviously predictable yet well-warranted pick.
Here we go. We're getting to the meat and potatoes here. We're down to the nitty-gritty. What do you have at number two?
Again, for me, these picks were very interchangeable. And today I'm feeling like my number two pick is Ghostbusters.
Who are you going to call? Okay.
Who are you going to call? And there are so many great films that came out in 1984, like you said. we could have done a top 10. We could have done a top 15. We could have done a top 20.
Yep.
There was some serious filmment going on in 1984. But for me, this was a definitive and defining movie as a child. It made me really sort of be interested in the supernatural. And I love the way that it's a scary movie that isn't frightening. The acting, the music, the freezing, the thawing, everything about, you know, it's Ghostbusters, the cartoon, the toys, comic books, the sequel, Viggo the Carpathian. We don't have to talk about what happened in 2016, but we've got a Jason Reitman coming up soon. And then even the talk of Ghostbuster High. I mean, this is a phenomenon that they created in 1984 that has not pumped the brakes. And I hope it never does.
Yeah, I promise you, if you've never been to any type of con or like Day of the Dead convention, if you go, Ghostbusters will be very well represented pretty much everywhere you go. That's how popular this movie still is today. It's insane. Okay, well, I can't argue with your number two. So here's my number two. You knew this had to be on the list. I might be catching a few people off guard with this, but we'll see how it goes. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Oh, I had no idea this would hit your list.
It's not on my list. That's a total joke.
Shit.
Well, you know, I had to do that because our buddy Dave is such a big Star Trek fan. He's probably mother effing me right now as he listens to the episode. It's not on my top five. Sorry about that, Dave. Yeah, number two is for sure Terminator. 1984. Man, hasta la vista. I don't think he really says anything in this movie. That's part two. That's how good part two is I kind of think of two more than one. But I love the original. You got some Jim Cameron early in his career, being as creative as he can with the technology. We've got a very well-casted film, Linda Hamilton, Michael Bain, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And this is just, it's a classic movie. It's never going to go away. And I don't know, JD, should we talk about the news over the weekend that Terminator Dark Fate, they're bringing back Edward Furlong to the cast? I could not be more excited about that.
I think that's fantastic, especially since the last slate of Terminator movies have kind of left the audience wanting.
I'd be putting it lightly.
Okay, I was trying to put it lightly. And so, to me, this is kind of like a proper move that takes them back to something that's it's a money-making move, and it's a smart move, and it's very interesting to see what they do, and I think it could be fantastic.
Okay, good. Sounds like you're on board. I like it. All right, man. Well, we're to the final countdown here. Play the jingle in the background. It's the final countdown. So you started with an oddball pick with Toxic Avenger. You went to the Police Academy at pick four. Number three, Adventures of the Buckaroo something, blah, blah, blah. A movie I've never seen, no disrespect. Number two, Ghostbusters. You can't argue who you're going to call. What do you have for your number one pick?
For me, it is a definitive movie in terms of what I think is an excellent horror movie. It's what I think Wes Craven sort of is able to hang his hat on, rest his soul. It's A Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, that's my horror movie. That's my franchise. That's the one that I'll always come back to. And, you know, I had it at number three at one point and then number two, but I had at the end of the day say, I freaking love A Nightmare on Elm Street. I love this movie. I love it. I love it. I love it. I remember the first time I saw it, I was maybe 6 years old. It scared the shit out of me. And even rewatching it as grownups, like, it's still scary. It's freaky. The premise of the original is fantastic. I love what it does with the sequels. They've floundered a little bit in recent years with some of the remakes, and I hope they can get the wheels back on track because this concept is just unbeatable.
Okay. I like where your head's at, man. I did not see that being your number one pick. I thought you were going to go with Terminator, but I'm a little bit shocked. I also, when I just said I thought, I felt like I had a little bit of Well, you know, his voice, I'm not as good with it as you are. It was a little Walken-y, wasn't it?
Oh, a little bit Walken. Your voice.
I just can't hold it in when you do the voice. Oh, man. I've been working really hard at getting better at it. It's not going well for me. So we'll keep chugging along, though. But okay. Well, your number one is Nightmare on Elm Street. Your list is complete. I'll give you the rundown. I flip-flopped them. My number five was A Nightmare on Elm Street. And then I went to Gremlins over at Amblin Entertainment. Number three, we were waxing on and waxing off with The Karate Kid. Number two, I was naked in an alley, waking up as a Terminator. And number one, how could it not be number one? We came, we saw, we kicked its ass. It's the Ghostbusters. It's probably, gosh, I it's always hard to say what my favorite movies of all time. If this isn't in the top three, I don't know what other movies would be. One of the best casts you could put together: Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis. You've got Ernie Hudson. You've got the bad guy, William Atherton, as the awful Walter Peck. The man has no dick. And it's just, gosh, could it get any better than the Ghostbusters? Maybe it could, but I haven't seen many that are. JD, how do you feel about my number one?
This would be a good pick for you. It's a fantastic movie, obviously included on my list. It needs to be in the top five of all movies in 1984. But this was a tough mother effing year. Like, you picked a really difficult time for us because there's a lot of winners left off of my list and left off of your list that need to be recognized, but we just didn't have a chance to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we're going to get to that list here in a minute of just a couple of our picks that would have been just outside the top five. But I have to say, like, both of our lists, very, very good. I thought your list definitely a lot more creative than mine, I'll admit. But, you know, sometimes you got to go with the hits, man. You don't go watch the Rolling Stones and expect to hear any other song, but I can't get no satisfaction. JD, what were some of the movies that should have been in your top five that just missed?
I definitely wish that we could have included Children of the Corn, Beverly Hills Cop. I was disappointed that Karate Kid did not make it into my list. It's a tough year.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, I'll give you a couple of my picks with me being a John Hughes guy. Definitely 16 Candles rings a bell. I think Revenge of the Nerds is a movie that I really like. The Last Starfighter, The Natural. Man, so many good movies on this list. Again, we could have easily made a top 10 list just as much as a top 5, and the pick would have been just as difficult to do, in my opinion. But I want to take a second to just, you know, again, thank you guys, as always, for hitting that download button on today's podcast. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and YouTube. You can follow us on social media. We're at Back in Time Pod. We're on the web at backintimepod.com. JD's at Unjust Justin. I'm at KAutry29. But for now, we are out of time. It's time to get back into the DeLorean, punch in today's date, go 35 years into the future, and return back to present day. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
That's a big Twinkie.